You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Launching Out into the Deep by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Luke, the fifth chapter. Let's go back there. Luke, the fifth chapter, starting at verse 1. Luke 5, starting verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And I think I started teaching last week from this scriptural passage, from this text of Luke 5, 1 down through the verses that we read there, down to verse 7 and verse 8. But I want to take another little spin on it today and just bring out this thought that I also started was teaching on the Sunday prior to last Sunday was Mother's Day. From verse 4, where Jesus says, now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And so Jesus had told him first time just to push out for his own purpose, that he could be a little distance from all the people who were crowding him, that he could teach them. He could be out using the boat and the sea as his platform, as his teaching platform. He taught the people. And then because Peter had been obedient enough and then gracious enough and generous enough to allow him to use his ship for ministry. Y'all understand that, y'all seen this. He allowed him to use his ship for ministry. Anytime you allow God to use you, anything you have for ministry, to bless other people, God has obligated himself to bless you. Well, why would you say God has obligated himself? Because Hebrews says God is not unrighteous that he would forget your labor of love in that you ministered and do minister to the saints. So anytime you minister to the saints, God's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Glory to God. Sister Phillips, you hear what I'm saying to you? Amen. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. People may forget. Pastors may forget. The people you did it for will forget. Can I tell y'all, people will forget everything you ever did for them, especially when they get offended? People will forget anything you did, what you gave, however you did. People get offended when you have wrong expectations. But the allegations were that the church has not been there for them and done enough for them. But why? Because people forget. And with people, you can never do enough. But God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. When people despise and people, that's why ultimately, I tell you all this all the time, what you do, you got to do is unto the Lord, not to people. And the truth of the matter is, and we have to remind ourselves, because a lot of times we did do it for people. Out of good hearted, good kindness about heart, we like the person, want to help the person, and then when people don't respond right or retaliate or all the kind of or not appreciative, then we just got to remind ourselves, no, I did it unto the Lord. The truth of the matter, we really did it unto them, but when they trip, you got to remind yourself, I did this as unto the Lord. Amen. And so Jesus asked Peter to use his boat. And now he says, now because you did this to help me bless these people, I want to bless you. Launch out into the deep. Go out a little bit further. What I want you to see here is that this second launch was not for Jesus. This second launch was for Peter. And I want to talk to you today about launching out into the deep, about going deeper. And going deeper is not about Jesus. Going deeper is not because of what Jesus wants. Going deeper is because of how God wants to bless you. What he wants to do for you. Look at somebody say, we need to go deeper. We need to go deeper. He says, launch out. Launch out into the deep. And Peter initially was hesitant to do it. He said, Lord, we done toiled all night. I done been there, done that, got the t-shirt, the cup, the pen, and the mug. I've done that. Nothing's going to happen by me going out deeper. What's going to happen by me being more faithful in church? What's going to happen by me regularly reading my Bible? What's going to happen by me making a decision to walk in love no matter what people do? What's going to happen if I tithe and do the word and obey you? What's really going to happen? Been there, done that. Jesus says, go ahead and do it, Peter. And he says, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Not because I really believe you, but I'm just going to obey you. And from that, we've been teaching a series, just do the word. So, because just doing the word, whether you understand it, whether you agree with it or not, has inherent blessings with inevitable results. Certain things that's built into. You don't have to, when you put your hand in fire, you don't have to ask it to be hot. It's inherently hot. Amen. It will burn whether you want it to or not. That's the nature. That's the nature of fire. The nature of God's word is that it will bring about results in your life. The nature of God's word is that it's going to produce something. The book of Isaiah says, so shall my word be that come forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish in the thing wherein I sent it to. It shall prosper in the end result. There's no word of God without power. Say that with me. Say, there's no word of God without power. So whatever, everything God says, it's going to produce something in your life. If you would get it in you and respond to it. Launch out into the deep. Okay? So to be productive Christians who build and expand the kingdom of God and do damage to the kingdom of darkness, which is why we're still here, y'all. I keep trying to remind y'all, we're not here to make heaven your home. You ain't left on the earth because you're working on the building. You're not left here on the earth because you're trying to send up your timber to make it up, to make it in every day. That's settled. The time you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he leaves you here because he wants you to expand the kingdom of God and do damage to the kingdom of darkness. So your purpose is supposed to be to expand the kingdom of God and do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Rhetorical question. Are you expanding the kingdom of God and doing damage to the kingdom of darkness? Are you expanding the kingdom of darkness and doing damage to the kingdom of God? But if we're going to do this, it's necessary that we launch out into deep and go deeper. Shallow waters produce shallow people. And shallow people want to stay in shallow waters. Let me say that again. Shallow waters produce shallow people. And shallow people want to stay in shallow waters. Shallow people aren't concerned with doing the word. Shallow people want a great harvest while standing on the shore. Launch out into the deep. The harvest God has for you is out there. It ain't going to be you staying around the peripherals of your walk with God. Not going to be in carnality land. It's not going to be on long as I make it in street. Are y'all hearing me? The harvest God has for you, it's going to require you to do more. It's going to require you to go out deeper. It's going to require you to exercise more faith. It's going to require you to know more word and do more word. It's going to require you to walk in love. It's going to require you to push beyond your flesh and do what may be inconvenient for you. So because shallow people want to receive much and everything, but are willing to give little or nothing. People launch into the deep hear what other people don't hear. Now, I can just imagine, because remember, the nature, when you study this, the nature of fishermen, how they fish, these weren't, you know what I'm saying, these weren't casual fishermen for hobbies. These were not hobby, just trying to chill, trying to get away from the wife at the house, fishes, just needing some peace on the water. These were professional fishermen who fished for a living and sold fish at the fish market. Peter was not a just occasional hobby kind of fisher. He had a major fishing business. We know that. How do we know that? Because and don't think this was a boat. It was a ship. Right? And how do we know it was a major operation? Because he had other partners. When so many fish came in, they couldn't handle it. He called his partners who was in the other ship. What do you think the other partners were doing, y'all? They were washing their nets too. Oh, this is so good. The custom was how they fished. They fished at night. And then as dawn came up, they finished. And so because when the sun came up, they figured, you know, the way they fish, they fish with nets. Okay? You know, pretty soon the fish get domesticated enough to know, oh, we can see that net. Don't go in the net. So if you want to catch fish in the net, you got to have the net out when they don't see it. When's that? That's at night. So all the other people are washing their nets. Fishing is over. Peter hears Jesus say, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets again. I'm sure the other people who didn't hear what Jesus said to him, and didn't know who Jesus was saying, why is he doing that? Everybody know fishing time is over. But people launch out into the deep, hear what other people don't hear. People launch out into the deep, get instructions that other people don't get. People launch out in the deep, get a harvest that other folks don't receive. That's why God calling us out to deeper. I gave you this scripture, I believe Sunday, Psalm 42 and 7. Deep calleth out unto deep at the noise of the water spout. So God's calling us. I want to give you a great harvest in your life, but I need you to come deeper. Now, when you go deeper, to go deeper, you need to hear the voice of God. And to go even deeper, you need to know the voice of God. So you got to know when God's calling you. There are times in your life as a Christian where God will tell you, you know, for this next trial you're going to go through, you're going to need to press into me a little bit more. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In this season, you need to spend more time in prayer here. You need to prepare for what I'm getting ready to do in your life. When God got ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land, the second generation, under Joshua, he tells Joshua, he says, tell the people to sanctify themselves. Because tomorrow the Lord is going to work wonders among you. What was he saying? Tell the people, in order for me to do what I want to do for this next level, I need them to come in deeper. And you got to hear when God's calling you deeper. I don't care who's around you is doing what. I don't care maybe how casual everybody else is being or what you would regularly be doing with this time. You got to know there's seed in your life where God's saying, in order for me to take you where I want to take you and to this next move, this next level, this next dimension, I'm calling you deeper. So you got to know the voice of God. Look at John 10, verse 4 and 5. John 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, and when he pulleth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. When he putteth forth his own sheep, Jesus once talked about other sheep. He said, but his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep do what? Follow him. Why do they follow him? Because they know his voice. Real sheep follow. Real sheep follow. Goats buck. And wolves try to destroy other sheep. Told you we got three types in the church. Three types of animals. Ask your neighbor, what kind are you? What kind are you? We got sheep, we got wolves, we got sheep, we got goats, we got wolves. Sheep will follow. They follow leadership. They follow the pastor. They follow order. Goats buck. Goats always got a problem with something. And then wolves. Wolves try to destroy other sheep. You got to get wolves out from among the sheep because they will kill other sheep. Jesus says, my sheep, the ones who are mine, they know his voice. Verse 5, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Real sheep know the voice of Jesus, and they don't recognize when it says they don't know, they're not familiar with, they don't pay attention to, they don't get deceived by the voice of strangers. So in order to be deeper, you got to know the voice of God. Verse 27 of that same chapter, he says, my sheep, he said, let me make this real plain to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. The way you can really evaluate how good a sheep you are is how closely you are following Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is he? Maybe the reason why you're still in lack and lack so much and always wanting, maybe you're really not following the shepherd. Because if you follow the shepherd, you shall not want. Mm-hmm. He made me lie down in green pasture and lead me to still waters. Well, why got so much, always got confusion, always got drama in my life. Maybe you don't know his voice and you're not following the shepherd. Because if you would, he will lead you into green pastures and cause you to lie beside still waters. Y'all don't like me up in here. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So if you're going to go deeper, you got to know the voice of God. And you got to be willing to follow. Launch out. I don't feel like it, but Lord, I know you're calling me to. One thing I know, whenever God gives me instructions for something, and this is something over the years, I always talk about things you got to get settled. One of the things I said you got to get settled is that God loves you. Have you all gotten that settled? God loves you. Okay. Have you gotten it settled that God wants what's best for you? Have you gotten it settled that God's not trying to hurt you and God's not trying to harm you? Okay. It's like every child got to understand that about their parent. Okay. You know, if I'm not just telling you something because I don't like you. I'm trying to restrict you. I'm trying to keep you from being happy. So I've learned, I've settled the fact, whatever instruction God gives me is going to be for my good. Now, I may not like it, but I know the end result is going to be for my good. Now, here's the other thing I know. I know I may not know what the good is in the short term. Because scripture says you follow on to know. There are times God gives you instruction and something you really wanted and you really wanted to do and you don't understand why he didn't let you do it and you think, oh, you know, God, I really want this. And then you later on, you realize, oh, thank you, Lord, you didn't give me that. I'm glad you said no. I really wanted that at the time. But obviously, you know something I don't know. You know the way I take. Because some of y'all, you need to understand, you can get what you want and then not want what you got. Let me say that again. You can get what you want and not want what you get. So we have to really be sensitive to his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And if we're going to launch out into the deep, if we're going to have greater harvest in our life, greater results, it's going to require going deeper and it's going to require knowing the voice of God. Go to 1 Samuel 3. Really want to spend some time on this part. 1 Samuel 3. Now, the story of Samuel is that his mother was Hannah. His mother was Elkanah's wife, and Elkanah had two wives, Penina and Hannah. And Penina had children. The Lord opened up her womb, and then the scripture says that, but God had shut up Hannah's womb, meaning she was not able to conceive. And she would cry out to the Lord. And when they would go yearly, especially to Jerusalem to pray and make sacrifice at the temple, she would cry to the Lord, Lord, give me a child, give me a child, give me a child. One time, Elkanah, I was teaching the men at our man-to-man, Elkanah didn't have the highest EQ. EQ is emotional intelligence. IQ is intellectual intelligence. EQ is emotional intelligence. He didn't have the highest emotional intelligence. And so he sees his wife crying while he's praying. And he says, what's wrong with you, woman? What you crying? What you asking God for a child for? Honor to you more than 10 sons. That's how we men are. We think everything's about us. If you got me, what more can you want? Honor to you more than 10 sons. A husband is a husband. A son's a son, right? Okay. What's wrong with you? And so she cries, and the Lord opens up her womb and gives her a child. And she promises the Lord, Lord, if you give me a child, I don't want none of y'all praying this. Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And to give him back to you in that case meant I'm going to take him down to the temple, give him to the pastor, and the pastor can raise him. That's why I don't want none of y'all praying that prayer. I want y'all to pray, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll keep him and I'll raise him. Okay? Don't talk about giving them back to you. And so she has a child, and the child is Samuel. And because that was the first fruit, the first one, and God opened up a womb. I believe she went on to have about six more children. So God opens up a womb, and she brings him to the temple, and she brings him so he can be raised in, Samuel is raised in the temple by the prophet at the time, Eli. He's being raised to be a priest, raised to serve in the temple. Now, with that background, let's pick up here. 1 Samuel 3, chapter, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. I want you to see that. He ministered to the Lord. He worked in the church. He served in the temple before Eli. He was Eli's personal assistant. He served and helped with things in the temple before he served. He ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He served the Lord under the instruction, under the supervision of Eli. Y'all with me here? And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Meaning they weren't regularly getting words from God. Eli the prophet, his eyes are dim naturally, but his eyes are dim spiritually. His ears are dim. He's not hearing God the way he used to. So any word from the Lord is really precious. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Nobody was regularly hearing God or seeing God or getting instruction from God. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time that when Eli was laid down in his place, Eli's a child, right? A child is indicating most likely he's like in his single digit years. A young child. Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes begin. And it came to pass when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. That's the prophet who's supposed to be tutoring him and mentoring him. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down in the street. This has literal meaning and it has spiritual application. It has literal and figurative. Literally, the lamp really went out. You know, it's dark. They go into bed. But it also means that he's not seeing or hearing God anymore. Verse 4, that the Lord called unto Samuel, and Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou calleth me. Y'all need to understand something. I'm going deep here on y'all here. Many times before you can really hear the voice of God, God going to sound like your pastor.
If you're going to go deeper in God, you'll have to make some adjustments. It may be uncomfortable, but Dr. Herbert Bailey calls us to launch out and fully understand the depth of God. Order this message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Launching Out into the Deep.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.